Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My students just had to listen to me for the rest of that semester. I told them, I was like, the Jonas Brothers are back together. And they were just like, what, señora? I'm like, los hermanos Jonas van a cantar de nuevo. And they were just like, señora, what? They would be like, a la señora Cherry le encantan los hermanos Jonas. I'm like, sí, estudiante, sí, verdad? Me encantan los hermanos Jonas.
And hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fangirl Central.
We have a very, 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 very special guest with us today for our special edition
Mother's
episode.
Day.
Yes, Mother's Day episode. I didn't know if that would give it away. Let's just let's tell the people who our mama is. Veronica Cherry.
Hello, bears.
Hi, mommy.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yes, mommy. Yes.
Am I the original fangirl?
Yes.
I mean, technically.
I mean, this is the way reason that we are the way we
are. Of this family tree, yeah.
Yes. So yes. We have two very intense, passionate parents. Mm-hmm. This is one of them.
Yes.
Veronica Cherry.
Can we talk about, and may he rest in peace, you getting us to our very first concert ever, aka Aaron Carter, and like why you wanted to go and why you wanted to take the whole family and everything. Like, just talk about that story.
Why did I not remember that at this moment, that it was your first concert? Well, you babies loved Aaron Carter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every time you would see him, and then of course he had the guest spot on the Lizzie McGuire show. Yep. Mm-hmm. And everything. And so when I heard that he was coming to Tennessee, he was going to be in Nashville, I knew how much you girls loved him, and I knew how much, you know, I didn't get a chance to really go to concerts when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I went to one concert as a teenager when I was in the 10th grade, and that was the Daz Band. Shout out Daz Band.
Yeah.
But that was my only concert. So I thought, you know, I wanted you girls to get to see your favorite artists. And mm-hmm. So when I found out that that Aaron Carter was going to be in Nashville, I thought, okay, can we do this? Because we were going to be in Nashville already.
That's
we were already
crazy.
Having a weekend in Nashville. We had decided to go to the Opryland hotel because it's so beautiful in there. They have the tree conservatory, and then they had the little flat boats to go
the
down
lake.
The river.
Yeah, the
and
river.
They have the
and
ducks.
So,
are there ducks in there, or is that Peabody?
Peabody for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. They're made. I'm sure there's some wildlife in there. Mm-hmm. But so we were going to be in Nashville anyway, and so I thought, well, let me see if I can get these tickets. And so when I found out I could get the tickets, decided to surprise you girls with it. And you two were literally still only 3 and 5.
Right. Yes.
You had not turned 4 and 6 yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best time. They had
so
that beautiful. They had that beautiful concert book. I don't know if they still do that nowadays.
I remember that. Nowadays?
I think they do, but you have to pay for it. And it's like really expensive.
Yeah, okay. And it's like all the photos are
so
online.
So I don't remember
anyway.
If we paid for it extra or if it came. I don't
Most
remember.
Most likely.
But it was so beautiful. And I know you girls still have it somewhere in a box.
It's in a box.
But it was the absolute best thing, and it was exciting for me just watching how excited you girls were.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's how you know, my fandoms and your fandom started to blend, because mm-hmm. I too loved Aaron Carter
and Britney Spears.
May he rest. and Britney Spears. And then, you know, I was already a Britney fan.
Yeah.
Because when you girls were babies, TRL was out. And Britney was all over TRL with Destiny's Child and the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Christina Aguilera.
Oh, all, right.
It was all that era. It was the absolute best. So I was already a fan. So when you girls came along and got old enough to appreciate Britney, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for you to dress up and sing Britney songs and do your thing in the living room, and it was the absolute best.
She was the original opening of the Disney Vortex show, we said.
Nah. Oh, yes.
That.
Because we used to have tights on our head to make our hair like move around and flip around.
Yes.
And I didn't realize, because obviously we were babies, but I didn't realize that you loved Britney Spears. I just thought you were like, you wanted us to listen because we were the age demographic.
Right, yeah. But you were 30.
You were just about.
So that's really young.
Yeah.
And so you were still like, this girl is popping. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's like always us with Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah. We were like,
yes, yes. And I still love Britney.
And I want to say also, we all four members of our family had our own Aaron Carter song that we were waiting for.
Yes.
Mine was I Want Candy. Yours was Oh Aaron.
Yes.
And Daddy's was That's How I Beat Shaq.
Yes.
And mine was Aaron's Party.
Yes.
People all around, you got to come get it. I want to get it. Sing it loud.
Come get it.
Yeah, but yeah.
That was such a good concert. And like, I was so upset that we weren't going. Mm-hmm. When we were going to Nashville, like everybody in my class in kindergarten was going to that concert.
I was
concert.
Three and my head was empty. And I just was like, we all know what concert.
And I was like, we're going to be in Nashville anyway. Can we please go?
But I don't even remember you never asked.
Did I not?
I don't remember you ever asked.
I don't think,
about
I thought
it.
That
we were really quiet.
I was very quiet and mousy and sad that we couldn't go.
I do remember you telling me that other people were going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, a little irritated about it. Like these other kids are saying they're going and kind of bragging and everything. And I want my babies to get to go too. I think that was part of it too.
Yeah.
Investigating.
It was literally to a T the exact thing that happens in Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, because we were going to the big city, like in Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, they're going from Jersey to New York to go to the like the last concert of this band and go to the after party, and the mean girl in the grade is like, I bet you're not gonna be there.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, we're gonna get there anyway. And then they get there and then they see each other, and then on Monday she's like, I didn't see you, did you take a picture? And guess what happened to me when I came into class on Monday?
What?
In kindergarten, I was like, because on Friday I was like, no, we didn't get tickets. On Monday I was like, my parents surprised me with Aaron Carter tickets. And my best friend, so-called, quote, air quotes, was like, I didn't see you there. You're lying.
Bitch,
you're
do you know how big the arena is?
You're trying to be cool. And I remember I was trying to find her.
Oh,
off air, I'm not
going
to say her on her name on it. I was trying to find her.
I
was like going around and I think Daddy came with me down to the, and we were like looking for her, and I was like, she said she was in row, blah, 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 blah.
This is kind of bringing back a weird fuzzy memory for me.
Yeah.
Because you were three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amber was just having a ball.
I was like,
Amber was just dancing up and down.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but do you remember what your second concert was? I can't remember.
Cheetah Girls.
It was Cheetah Girls. Okay.
At Everlife.
It was Cheetah Girls. And then it was Miley Cyrus.
Best of Both Worlds.
Slash introducing
Hannah Montana.
I mean, it was Hannah Montana Mean slash Harris. Introducing Meet Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And then the Jonas Brothers.
Right. Yes.
And so that's where the obsession and the fangirling over the Jonas Brothers really began.
You think that is that?
I do. I really do.
Absolutely.
Really,
because we hated them before.
Well, I'm just thinking about the from the parental perspective, like that was the kickoff of the concert scene.
Yes.
Like, yeah, because even I'm now thinking about it. Cheetah Girls, we were like, yeah, we're going to see the Cheetah Girls.
Yes, and
it's
that
the
was
Cheetah
so
Girls,
exciting.
And this is so fun, but we were still kind of young.
And Raven
but
wasn't
then,
there.
Yeah, and Raven wasn't there. Yeah. And we were really bummed
and that
out
was
about
disappointing.
That. With Hannah Montana, we were like, we are so in it. We know every word to every song, both CDs, Hannah Montana, and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
And we know the song that the Jonas Brothers are going to sing with her. We didn't know. I don't even know if we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But that was the night that I listened to Year 3000 and I confirmed that I would give them my support.
Yes. Like, I feel like that week, Year 3000 was on Radio Disney, and we were like, change it. And you, mommy, was like, you girls don't like this song?
Yeah.
And we were really? Like, no, we think it's annoying.
We hated the Jonas Brothers because they were like, really like, they were really rough around the edges, I guess. They weren't like,
they were boys. Yeah. They were like, yeah.
And Joe Jonas would contort his body when he would sing.
And his tongue out.
Scared me, honestly. And his hair was like spiky. And also, they had the Poor Unfortunate Souls music video. Mm-hmm. And I hated it.
Yep.
Now I go back and I'm like, look at how young and cute. But I was like, why are they coming in here and bringing chaos and being boys? They're being wild boys and they're gross. And I hated like the sound of Mandy. I just thought it was just like gross boyish.
But okay.
And then Year 3000 came out and then they changed. When did we see them?
I think even through though, like in between those concerts, like in between Aaron Carter, Cheetah Girls, Hannah Montana, there was also the Delta Fair and like little mini things, because you also took us to the first celebrity we ever met, Orlando Brown.
Yes. We met Orlando Brown, not at the Delta Fest, but it was at like this, this little fair at this elementary school, right? Mm-hmm. And so I heard he was going to be in town. And so I knew you girls loved That's So Raven.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I said, hey, you girls, Orlando Brown is going to be there signing autographs and taking pictures. Do you want to go see? And you guys were like, sure.
I remember we triple checked to see like what you were saying was true. We were like, he's going to be there.
In Memphis.
In person.
Outside Memphis.
In real life. Yes. He's going to be there.
Yes.
Like it was crazy.
And that's the best photograph.
Do you remember what you said? Because we didn't say a word.
I just said to him, I said, we love That's So Raven. I said, my daughters love the show so much and we love you so much on it. And he was so gracious. He was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for watching. He was so calm and still. Yes, yes, yes.
He had sunglasses on.
Yeah. And he like was barely like moving. He was talking very softly, but he was smiling and he smiled softly at us. And then he also like put his arms around us. And I remember freaking out about that. I was like, oh my God, he touched this shoulder.
Me too.
I remember I went back to school and I said, we met him and they were like, which side were you standing on? And I like mimicked it. And a girl in my class, she goes, I met him too.
Wait, what?
She tapped me on the shoulder.
That's
and she goes,
so
I met
annoying.
Him too.
I'd be like,
Well, that started our whole thing with, we met a celebrity, so therefore we can meet lots more.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So, I mean, a few years before when Amanda was only 1 year old, when the Wolf Chase Galleria Mall first opened, they had celebrities to come and sign autographs and things like that then. So at that time it was Mark Consuelos. And he at that time was on All My Children. He is the husband of Kelly Ripa. They are now the new hosts of Live with Kelly and Mark. Now,
wait, really?
Because Ryan.
I didn't know that update.
So now, Mark has always gone on there to be like a guest host from time to time, but now he's the real host.
He's in Riverdale too now.
And he's in Riverdale.
Or he was.
Oh. Yes. Or, you know, somewhere along the line. Uh-huh. But anyway, so he was in All My Children at that time. He and Kelly Ripa were expecting their first child because Amanda is 1 year older than their first child, who I think is Lauren Saul. If I'm thinking correctly.
Because I saw Kelly with her child at
you
USC.
You did. That was him. That was who she was pregnant with when I met Mark.
Oh.
So when I met Mark, I had Amanda with me. And so I go up there to take a picture with him and get the autograph and everything. And I told him how much I love all my children, love him and Kelly. So excited for them, you know, having for their new baby to come along. And then I said, could we take a picture? And then he's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, can I hold her? And so he held Amanda in the picture. It is the cutest
because
picture.
Amanda's so cute.
It is the cutest picture. And so he held her
in
that picture.
I was a cute baby.
So
he asked?
Yes. And so that was just me fangirling
on
my own.
He's about to be a father.
Amanda was a literal baby. And here I am meeting Mark Consuelos.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we come along and then you guys meet Orlando Brown. And so then later when they kept bringing all these people to the Delta Fest, we're like, let's stand out in the long line to meet Corbin Bleu.
Yeah. We were there for like 6 hours.
David Henry.
Yes, David Henry.
Yeah.
To meet Corbin Bleu, to shake Corbin Bleu and his father's hand. And I'm not even in the picture. The back of my head is in the picture.
The line got so out of hand for Corbin Bleu. Like it was literally
every single black person in Memphis was there.
It was
to meet Corbin Bleu.
Fair. It was all the way wrapped around and outside of the fair. And they were like, it got to the point where they got up on stage and they said, all right, everybody, no one gets to stop. Just line up
Keep
and pass him along. If you have your camera out, snap photo. It was literally like he was like,
where's his father from?
An exhibit.
But I said, girls, I said, turn around, because I sit up there. And so Amber heard me. Mm-hmm. And so Amber turned around and she's grinning at
me. And Amber didn't tap me. She just said,
and Amanda's back.
We didn't have that type of camaraderie back then.
Corbin Blue was looking, kind of looking down-ish. And then Amber's facing the camera grinning and Amanda's back. And so Amanda was so mad about that.
I'm going to have to meet Corbin Blue one day and write this wrong.
And tell the story.
Because I was like, I'm never going to see him again. This is the worst day of my life.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten about that until we found that photo again.
And then when you started doing your concerts and doing all the meet and greets. So then, you know, 21 Pilots and that little group that came from X Factor.
I the can't Broadway
Fifth Waiting. Harmony?
No. The
Emblem
Boys.
Three?
Emblem Three. And you did meet so Fifth many. Harmony. And just so many, you know, because it's so like many. We have access.
Yeah.
We have access. We can meet them now. And then we went to, you know, coming out here.
R5.
And R5.
That's
right.
All the number 2010s bands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five Sauce, Fifth Harmony,
One
Direction.
We started jumping ourselves onto Hollywood Boulevard for all the premieres. And so then we were doing all the Marvel premieres. And then, oh, here they come.
Right.
Waiting outside the stage door in New York.
Yeah. Waiting by the
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. Yes.
Waiting
and
by
Sebastian
the
Stan.
Waiting by the IMDb boat to like.
I can't even
to
begin.
Comic-Con
and just, Jake Epstein.
To talk about Sebastian
Degrassi.
Stan.
Or Degrassi. But
I just remember you were like. Because there's a video. I mean, I can quote it, but there is a video of you being like, we came all the way from Tennessee to see you.
Yes.
To Sebastian Stan. And you're like, we love you on Once Upon a Time. Are you coming back? And
he's like, I don't know. If they ask me back. And
I'm like sitting there quaking in my boots.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm speechless.
That was the best.
Yeah. You were always very on board to like take us to find whatever we could.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? And like, who do you think you would be doing that for if you could back when you were a teenager?
Well,
right.
When I was coming up, I started being a fangirl around, you know, 8 or 9 years old with Sean Cassidy, as you guys know, because you've seen my Sean Cassidy scrapbook, or at least the starting of one. And so I think, you know, at the time that I became a fan of Sean Cassidy at that young age, along with my friends. You know, it's like the starting of coming of age, puberty-ish, and there are lots of things going on. At that time, I do believe fangirling is a type of escapism.
Mm-hmm,
I do believe that it takes you out of things that, you know, may be stressful to you when you're growing up. And, you know, at that time, I had just gone to a new school, you know, with grandma. The schools had just gotten integrated. And so grandma's changed school. So I changed schools with her because she was teaching there. And you know.
Integrated.
This is like 1975.
Literal integration.
That sounds right. Yeah. 75. And so at that time, it was like, I'm a little shy. I'm introverted. I'm going to a new school. I don't know what this is going to be like. I want to fly under the radar. I don't want, you know, to be noticed. I wonder if I'm going to make friends, that kind of thing. So when I get there, of course, I didn't know, but one of my friends from my dance studio, because I had been taking dance, you know, tap, ballet, eventually jazz, since I was 3. And so one of my friends was one of my new classmates. And so I was happy to see Susan because, you know, I was shy and introverted. So by knowing someone there already, it made everything, you know, much better because the other kids, you know, immediately started to talk to me since I already knew Susan and everything.
Yes, yes.
And so we formed our alliances and then all of us, you know, became these big fans of Sean Cassidy. Mm-hmm. And it was different from you girls nowadays because we didn't have the internet. We couldn't figure out where Sean was all the time. We couldn't just go online and find him on YouTube and find an interview. We had to wait.
Yeah.
We would have to read the TV guide. Oh, Sean Cassidy's going to be doing an interview here. Oh, Sean Cassidy's going to be on American Bandstand.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, he's going to be in this music award show or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so we would have to just kind of wait, you know? And then we were getting our Tiger Beats and getting all posters and everything to hang up. And then we started to like Parker Stevenson because he was one of the new Hardy Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we became Parker Stevenson fans because of Sean, because they played the Hardy Boys. And so I think that was a lot of, you know, escapism for me, you know, like taking me out of my shyness and my introversion and things like that.
It's a conversation starter.
It really is.
Yeah.
And so I think that helped me so much with that transition. And then, you know, that was like early elementary school. And as I went on into late elementary school, then of course moved into John Travolta because he was on Welcome Back, Kotter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did Grease. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, fans of the whole cast of Grease, pretty much, you know, Olivia Newton-John and everyone.
May she rest.
And then, yes, definitely. And then we went on into, you know, like the Jackson 5 had started out, you know, many, many years ago. But for me, it was the Jacksons. That's who I knew. So when Randy became a member of the band, he was the baby. So they were Jackson 5. So they couldn't be Jackson 5 anymore because Randy was a member of the band. So there were six. And so therefore, they were just the Jacksons. Mm-hmm. And so big fan. And that was like up through, you know, the end of elementary school, get into junior high. Then, of course, you know, DeBarge and, you know, then Michael goes solo, like right. when I got into high school. Mm-hmm. But like junior high was the start of New Edition. And I think you girls know what a big fan of New Edition Absolutely. I am until this day.
Yes.
I just went to their concert about a year ago and, you know, they broke up. You know, they didn't break up, but Bobby Brown left. So mm-hmm. there were only four. Kind of reminds you of One Direction mm-hmm. when Zayn left. But we weren't as affected by it because we didn't have, you know, that constant access to them. And so we hear Bobby's leaving. And we're kind of like, what's going on? So by the time we processed and really learned about it, Bobby already had his solo career going.
Oh, okay.
And so then we're already, Bobby has a new album. And so we're all excited about that. And as time went on, you know, up to this day with New Edition, Johnny Gill joined the group. And so then they're five. And we already knew Johnny Gill. We appreciated it because he was a solo artist. So we mm-hmm. already knew him. He already had his own album, I think. And he had some duets with a singer called Stacey Ladislaw, who was really popular back then. So we were very excited. So like, okay, so New Edition has five again. And then as time went on and they started to tour again, Bobby came back. And so then there were six.
See, and that's what we all wanted.
And so we were all just freaking out to this day. Every time they get on stage, when it's all six of them, all of us in my age group, we're like, look at them. And we're so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
And whenever they perform, they each do all their solo careers because like Ralph, Johnny, and Bobby all had their solo careers. And then I think you girls know BBD. So they had their trio. So that whenever they do their concerts, they do all their solo stuff. BBD does their stuff. Then they do their stuff together.
That's like the Jonas Brothers. They do that too.
Yeah. I feel like you're foreshadowing some things.
They do their songs when Bobby was with them. They do their songs when Bobby left. Then Bobby comes in and he does these songs that he never recorded with them. And he's mm-hmm. trying to keep up with the choreography. It's the best thing in the world.
But that's like interesting because since you didn't have as much access, since it wasn't like we're seeing them every single day, I feel like it was easier for the studios to transition them mm-hmm. from we have this many members, one is leaving. It's like, oh, before you even know it, here's the solo stuff.
Yes.
And they're pushing that. But for us, like, that didn't quite work same way. We were like, Nick Jonas and the administration.
Yeah, I think.
What?
Yes. As time went on, they were like, the fans are going to have questions and we've accidentally given them a forum mm-hmm. to ask those questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to need to have a game plan of how to answer those things like how to shift this over.
Exactly.
And it's really muddly because humans are complex. I have a question. How did you feel about Michael Jackson's solo career after seeing him as a little brother?
Okay. He was the star of Jackson. You girls know that I am a fan of an ensemble. I love the ensemble. Yes. It's difficult for me for someone to be removed from the ensemble because I feel like, you know, if they're in a different environment, like with my TV shows, like if you have an ensemble and somebody leaves the show, then I'm kind of like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
So the same thing. So like with Michael, but Michael always stood out head and shoulders above, you know, the band. Mm-hmm. You know, we were always looking at Michael. He was the baby mm-hmm. until Randy came along. But Michael was still the singer, mm-hmm. right? And he was still the performer. He stood out. So when he went solo, I felt like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. But always in the back of my mind, I was like, well, I hope, you know, he'll perform with his brother sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. I hope they'll perform together
mm-hmm. yeah.
because I love an ensemble. But I was a huge Michael Jackson fan. You know, I have his Barbie doll mm-hmm. and I had a calendar and his posters and everything. And then he did perform with his brothers from time to time. There's this one show, I think it's the 25th anniversary of Motown or something like that. And we were all just, so excited. They came out on the stage together and they performed together.
Oh.
And they were doing the choreography together, you know, this crazy move. And so after they did that, we were all just screaming. We were so excited.
Oh my God.
They're back together. Look at them. And so then after they did that, then they left the stage And Michael went straight into Billie Jean, and he did his solo stuff. That's fine. I think it was the first time he ever, you know, did the moonwalk on TV.
Oh, I've seen that video. We were fine with it.
Yeah. We transitioned well because he left, but he didn't leave all the way because they're family.
You have to put
like
the
Jonas Brothers.
You know, so with One Direction, it's concerning because they're not family, right?
No.
It's concerning.
Because even Beyonce brings on Destiny's Child when she's performing.
I do not like that breakup, you know. I was a big fan of Destiny's Child, and so I did have a hard time with that ensemble being apart.
Really?
And so when Beyonce brought them back and performed with them in Coachella, that's all I wanted to see.
Oh my god.
That's the part I had to see.
Yeah. And I also love when she brought out Solange and they did drop down. It is so cute. I want to do that with Amber.
Me too.
It's that whole ensemble thing and just I don't know, just camaraderie and friendship.
Yeah.
But like with the Jonas Brothers. So, you know, the first time we saw them. Mm-hmm. So each time we saw them, I was there with you, right? Mm-hmm. So the first time we saw them was at the Hannah introducing Miley thing, right?
Yeah, yep. best of both worlds.
So then we go see them. I drive you to St. Louis to go see them. And it was the girl Jordan Sparks opened, and so did a few more bands,
The Wonder Woman.
Okay, so then.
In Honor Society.
So then later we had tickets. I had gotten you tickets again for the Jonas Brothers. But then they broke up because Nicholas said the Jonas Brothers are no more.
Check out Chasing Happiness on Amazon. So then,
yes, too. It's the best thing. That's the best documentary.
It's really a lot of closure. I burst into tears whenever I hear happiness. It brings
roller coaster.
It really brings closure, that documentary, because explains everything that happened, and they are a family.
So they broke up at that time. So we didn't get to see them at that time. And I don't know if I was more excited when they got back together in 2019 or you girls,
right?
Because I can't remember if I texted you first or you texted me first. And I said, the Jonas Brothers are back together.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember. And then when they were going on Corden. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
James Corden.
Yep.
And you girls just
got tickets.
Amber, I was so happy for you. I was so excited for you. My students just had to listen to me for the rest of that semester. I told them, I was like, the Jonas Brothers are back together. And they were just like, what, señora? I'm like, los hermanos Jonas van a cantar de nuevo. And they were just like, señora, what? But I was so excited. And I would put up PowerPoints.
Because they are younger.
And they had to describe what was happening in the PowerPoint. I would put a picture of the Jonas. They would be like, a la señora Cherry le encantan los hermanos Jonas. I'm like, sí, estudiante, sí, verdad? Me encantan los hermanos Jonas. And I was just really having a time.
Yes.
And so were they. And so to this day, they still know how much I love the Jonas Brothers, and they will slip it in. If they do a role play, they'll slip in the Jonas Brothers or they'll ask me. So that fall when we finally got to see them for the third time at the Hollywood Bowl, remember? We
10 years after the first time.
We kept trying to get 3 tickets, and it would kick the 3 tickets out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, it's fine, girls. You get the tickets, get the 2 tickets, and it's fine. I just won't go. And then you girls are like, well, mommy, we really want you to go because we've never been to a Jonas Brothers concert without you. You had been to everything else
without
me.
That's really
awesome. Bieber.
Yeah.
I saw Bieber once, but then the ears got me. It hurt so bad. I'm like, can't see Bieber again. And so then you girls went, right?
Justin put them on the Richter scale.
We saw 1D by ourselves.
Yes, yeah. You saw everything by yourself once you got old enough. Mm-hmm. Once you got old enough. But then with the Jonas Brothers, so we were able to split it. So I got 2 tickets, you got 2 tickets, mm-hmm. and so we got to go. And then I went to see them again that spring in Vegas,
right?
And you girls didn't go, but then did we see them again?
We saw them again in the fall with Esty and Capri.
Shout out Esty and Capri.
And so now here they are again on tour again. And so
and
now
we're trying to get tickets. Again.
They're gonna go on sale this Tuesday.
Like Jonas Brothers, calm down now.
Yeah,
really.
When we saw them that first time in 2019, because they came on to the second stage because it was at the Hollywood Bowl, so they were a little bit far, but then they came to the second stage close to us.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And I was like having flashbacks to 2009.
Yes.
I saw them as their teenage selves in 2009. Yes. And I was like, I'm going to fall apart.
They were really close.
And when they made that comment, I felt they were speaking directly to me. When they said, we're about to do this medley of all of our, you know, all of our old songs. This is for all of the parents who brought your kids to our concerts, drove them around and supported us. And I'm like, that's me.
Yes.
That's you.
Yes. And that's like, so
thank you,
sweet.
Jonas Brothers. Thank you for seeing me.
Because you have been listening to Jonas Brothers only for a year straight at that point.
Yeah.
Like when they, you didn't even know they were going to get back together, but you had been only listening to them.
Oh, had I been listening to them before that?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Maybe it was Five Sauce.
I think it was because, no, Five Sauce came after.
Well, you went through a phase of only listening to the Jonas Brothers for a year and then only listening to 5 Seconds of Summer for a year.
Yes. That's my thing.
And then you came to the 5 Seconds of Summer concert with us.
Yeah. Listen, I have just never tried to go to a Five Sauce concert, you know, and because I had just never realized how much I enjoy their music. There's not a single solitary song that I've heard by them that I don't like. And I will play them on loop over and over and over.
Yeah.
And so when you girls said that there was a ticket that I could go finally and see them, I was like, I jumped on it and I had the best time down in a mosh pit.
Yeah.
Mother in the mosh pit. I'm like, I don't know about this. And I was having second thoughts. because you two had spent the night out on that sidewalk,
the streets of Hollywood.
I didn't spend the night with you girls at Comic Con on the nice green grass under the tent, but I didn't know about the street.
Yeah.
So when I got there to get in line, I'm still thinking, I don't know if I should do this. It's standing up. I'm going to stand up the whole time. I mean, I tend to stand up the whole time in a concert anyway, but it's comforting to know
that you
that
have
a chair to sit in.
Yeah.
So this time it's like, there's no chair.
No.
I'm just down here. And so I'm like, I don't know. So I was so happy that I went. It was the best thing. We were up close. I mean, it was very personal.
So you got to see nice Luke. Space.
Yes, I got to see. Oh my goodness,
Mother thinks Luke's beautiful.
I'm still
not
having,
that she's alone in that thought.
I'm still having a very hard time when I look back at Luke when we met them at the airport in 2014. Remember,
he was 18.
And I'm looking at him there, and I'm like, okay, this goofy kid. And then I look at him now, and I'm like,
who is that?
I just don't know.
But we
I don't know how that happened.
Luke Hemmings.
I don't know how that happened.
Really?
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, Luke Hemmings is really...
His painted nails and his curly hair, and he's figured out how to do his curls.
Yeah, he's figured out how to do his curls.
And so has Ashton and Callum. Dress. Ashton and Callum have also figured out how to do their curls.
I don't want to talk about Callum. Luke Hemmings is gorgeous.
Oh my gosh.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
You carted us around to a lot of things, and we have talked about The Day I Didn't Meet One Direction, but you are in the movie. Everybody who has not seen it yet, our mother is playing herself in the movie. Yes, it's our real mother, and it's her. Because she...
Method acting, too.
I wrote that script. We touched down, and I said, I don't know if any of the three of us can do this. We didn't rehearse, really.
Nope.
We didn't, like... Nope. Well, none of us had acted in years.
We were just...
In years.
The fact of the matter is, the script, if you watch the movie, it is not heightened.
No.
It's
That's what happened.
I think
that
we
day.
Have to really give you kudos for, like, really capturing the feeling of that day. It's not heightened. It's not more. It's not less. It's that is what that day
that's
was.
That's what happened.
I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to, because I hadn't directed in, like... 3 years, I think, 4 years. I hadn't directed anything in 4 years, and I was terrified. And I was like, am I going to be able to communicate with my family?
right.
what I need from them on this screen. It really, and are we all going to be able to deliver for ourselves?
Yeah. And we did.
It felt like, did it? Okay. For me, it felt like Harry Styles was around any corner.
Uh-huh. I was so scared.
And we were in the middle of the Nashville heat in July.
2021. Harry was literally off filming a movie.
Were you? For he you, was mommy, nowhere near did us. Did you feel like Harry could be around any corner? Or what was the vibes?
It took me back. It took me back. I really had to go back and tap into how I felt that day too, because I was the one driving you around and I needed to be very careful with my driving and everything. But still be on the lookout.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to the left and right. Bolo. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to the left and right and I'm trying to see. And so that day I just kind of tried to embody that. So I did feel that kind of excitement that, like, yes, indeed, when we arrive at this guitar store, Harry might be there.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it was, you know. And then when we drove back down through, you know, the Broadway area, wherever we had seen, you know, Five Seconds of Summer.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it really took me back. I'm like, this is
where you were, like, I honestly get out of the car.
Of it. I saw a ghost of the crowd that, like, I was like, wow, this is the street that we saw their heads.
I went into a
across.
Trance. Yeah, I really was. I was dreaming while my eyes were open.
Yeah, I was like, it's all here. It's really crazy. Like, when we got to the guitar shop, I was like, this is, I've seen it all before. It was like deja vu to the nth degree.
It was
because it was at my fingertips.
It wasn't. We are such a chaotic family because everybody's like, what do your parents think of all this? And I'm like,
who you think was behind the wheel?
What do you think birthed us?
Who you think, like, was behind the wheel?
We didn't have a license. I'm like, who do you think our parents are? Like, and I know that like, you know, pretty normal parents can birth chaotic kids.
Right.
It happens all the time. And I feel like it has to happen that way generationally, is that people get more free to be themselves as the generations go.
Mm-hmm.
But we just happen to have two very eccentric parents mm-hmm. who are
from the jump,
mm-hmm. like from the jump. And so when I say Karen Gillan is at Graceland, we're going to go down there. You didn't, at that point I had a license, but you were like, okay,
oh my
gosh. Say hi to her for me.
And honestly, being in Memphis and living in Memphis, nobody ever goes to Graceland.
No.
So I think one of you went to Graceland on a field trip at school.
Yeah,
one
I
of
did.
You? Okay. But you had never been.
I had never been.
Still never been.
Right.
You know? And so.
Nobody goes
like,
there.
Nobody goes to Graceland.
So Karen Gillan is at Graceland.
With her dad.
Okay. And then you saw it on Twitter, right?
Yes. Yeah.
See, Twitter.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to go find her at Graceland. Okay. Good luck.
Yeah, you said be safe.
Good
be
luck, baby. I didn't have to drive you that time.
Yeah,
you know, I would have. I would have been happy to.
And talk about having when we had a British foreign exchange student staying with us the first quarter of my senior year, and we saw that, what is his name?
Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick, who moderates a lot of the panels at Comic-Con. We saw he was at a bowling alley because he's from Memphis.
Mm-hmm. And we did not know this.
And we didn't know that he was from Memphis and he was at this bowling alley. And we said, let's get in the car and go. Exchange student, do you want to come with us? And she's like,
sure.
Okay. Like, it was her first week with us.
She didn't come with us though.
I think she was like, I'm going to stay.
Yeah, she said stay.
She's like, I'm going to stay back.
Okay.
Yeah. Because she was probably like, home. What is wrong with these,
like,
Americans?
What is going on?
Because we all ran and put our Marvel shirts on because we had just gotten back. It had been a few weeks from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Our first Comic-Con ever.
And he was on all of our favorite panels that weekend. And yeah, so we got home from school.
And
we were like, we can do it. We can make it.
To find out that he was from Memphis, and the nerve that he would have to tweet out where he was.
Right.
Did he really think we weren't going to show up?
Right.
Chaos. Where he,
like,
was.
Absolutely chaotic.
And we showed up and we said, there he is. And he was with his friends and family. And
we
went up
to him.
His
family owned this bowling alley, y'all.
Yes.
Oh my God. Was it called
it was
Hardwick?
Billy Hardwick.
Yes.
Billy Hardwick's bowling alley.
May he rest in peace.
Yes. I don't know. We chase moments like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the absolute best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Y'all, I mean, I'm just as excited about pretty much everything as you are. I mean, when you first came back and told us that, you know, from going to film camp,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some people told you they had been to Comic-Con, and we heard about Comic-Con, and we're like, oh,
well,
we
this girl was like, Robert Downey Jr. was staying in my hotel. And as soon as she said that, I came home and I said, we need to find out how to get to Comic-Con. Yes.
Yeah, you said, I've heard there's a possibility that we can do something like this.
So we found out how to get to Comic-Con, and we've been going every
year since. And
every
it'll be our 10th year anniversary
camping
this year.
Camping out.
Yeah.
The camping out was so fun at first, and it was
a part of the experience.
It was part of the experience, and we had to go out and we had to get the tents and we had to finesse where to park, and we park in the hotel parking every year, even though we are not in the hotel, and we just end up in there because we go at like 3 a.m.
Yep. Yeah.
But
need to cut that part.
Yeah.
That's our secret.
Yeah. Okay, but like, who's going to get us? Who's going to get us?
I know. How will they know which one?
How will they know who it is? And also, we don't do it anymore. So.
We did it last year.
We did it last year.
Well, because we
didn't
we didn't get to go for we didn't do it anymore because we didn't get to go for 2 years because of COVID.
Can
you know?
I say something
also, but I don't want to camp out anymore.
Well, yeah, true.
No, we don't even need to.
We
do
are
it.
Not doing that. It was a mess last
but
year.
But I want to say that yes, you said that we chase moments like that, and we do. Like that is that's what we think that we can. The thing is, that's the beautiful part of it. But I'm going to talk about the toxic part of it because we think that we can get that moment from like. All tries, and that's just simply not the case. And
no, there's some disappointment.
There's some disappointment, and even when you are trying to get that moment, there are ways.
And then there are ways.
as Galleria would say, yep. But there are ways. We have to remember that while we want to chase these pure moments with these people that mean a lot to us, or like Chris Hardwick that just gave us a very fun memory, like Comic-Con panels, we still have to approach it in the way a human would approach another human, with the same amount of respect of privacy and decency. And we cannot get ahead of ourselves just because of the pedestal that we have allowed ourselves to put them on because of the way they're marketed towards us.
Yeah. And I feel
we really have to just check ourselves at all times as fangirls. I'm speaking to the fangirl central society.
Yeah. We have to realize everybody's a human being. Nobody is like better than you just because they have a platform. And you just need to treat them like a regular human being. Like nobody likes being screamed in their face at, you know, or like somebody to come up to you on the street and you're hyperventilating. Like it's just uncomfortable for all involved.
It's a shock to the brain. I mean, everybody take a minute and think about this. You are mindlessly walking down the street, minding your business. Maybe you're having an off day and you're not even thinking about anything. You're just kind of like on autopilot, and somebody comes at you out of nowhere because they think they have the liberty to, because you are well known to them, but you have no idea who this person is, and they start screaming crazy things at you about how important you are to them. That's a lot to put on their shoulders, and you're already having a crazy day, so you're like, I don't even know how to respond to this because I'm not in the mood for human interaction. And then they get dubbed as rude.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just humans.
Because you have to, it's time and place. And I think, you know, since we've all lived out here in LA now, we see so many people all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we just enjoy seeing them from a distance.
It's like, that was
kind
of funny.
And just say, oh, I saw so-and-so today. Yeah. But we don't go approach them and we don't bother them.
Because they're minding their business.
Now, Comic-Con is the space.
Is the space.
You know, so if these celebrities are walking through our hotels, they know that they're at Comic-Con to be approached. Mm-hmm. And they know.
And if
so
they don't, they have handlers that will tell you not to bother them.
And that's a different environment. So they'll walk through the hotel, they know that, you know, fans are there, and they will so graciously stop and chat for a moment, take a picture, things like that. However, if we were just like you said, we just see them out on the street nowadays, let's not approach
them, let them live their lives
and let's just have some, you know, internal joy that I got to see this person in person. You know,
so I mean, there are special cases where if you like collect yourself and you see someone out and you approach them as like a person to person, like, hey, love your work.
Yes.
Just wanted to say, have a great day.
Just don't bother them if they're sitting down.
Don't bombard them.
Do you remember when we first moved here? Well, Amber and I, when we first moved here, because you had been here, you know, it's in school. We were at Subway. you remember this?
I think
and,
I know.
And we saw a man came in there and he had his puppy, his big puppy. Puppies can be so big.
Yes.
But his big puppy was in the car, And so he didn't want to leave the puppy too much, you know, in the car alone. So he kept standing in the doorway, watching the puppy and placing his order because we were the only ones in there. And he was so kind. And he started talking and I recognized his voice immediately. And I looked at Amber and I said, Amber, I recognize that voice. I know that voice. And I can't place it. I don't know why. But the reason I knew it was because he's done a lot of voiceovers. He's done a lot of commercials and everything. But he's also an actor, but I still couldn't place him. And so he's placing his order and he smiled at us and spoke to us. And I'm still trying to get that voice when he's ordering. And so Amber and I went to sit outside on the patio and he poked his head out to look at his puppy. And we said, oh, your puppy's doing fine. We're keeping an eye on him. And he laughed, you know. And so he goes back inside. He comes out with his order and he's like, you guys have a nice day and thanks for watching my puppy. And we're like, the puppy's so pretty. And before he got too far to the car, I had to ask. I had just moved here. I said, I have to ask. I said, I recognize you. And I said, I can't place you. I said, could you just please tell me why I recognize you? Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm an actor. And I said, I know. I said, now look, if you just tell me your name, I will just look you up on IMDb. You don't have to talk to me a long time. I just want to know because I cannot place you.
Right.
And he's like, well, I haven't worked in a really long time. And I'm like, I know, because I knew it'd been a while. I hadn't seen him. And then he's like, well, he said, did you ever watch The Brady Bunch?
And mother
oh, no.
loves The Brady Bunch.
I was about to lose it. So he said, have you watched it? So I'm going, he's not Greg. He's not Peter. He's not Bobby. He's not the dad, Mike. He's not even the butcher. Who is he? I couldn't place him. I said, yes. And by that time, I had I was sitting down and had my feet and my hands all stretched out like, yes.
I remember that.
And so then he says, well, did you ever watch The Brady Brides? And I'm like, yes. And it turns out he played Marsha Brady's husband in The Brady Brides. And I can't call his name right now. But I said, oh my gosh, that's it. And I was like, that's it. Because I knew him from that. But I also knew him from commercials and other stuff because he did lots of voiceovers. And he's like, you've just made my day.
Aww.
He was so kind. He said, you've just made my day.
Human connection.
Yeah. And then I told him I had just moved out here to start teaching. And I told him where I was going to be teaching. And then he goes, oh, I live right over there, right around the corner. I'm like, man, you don't know I could be a stalker.
Yeah, right. You can't be telling me that.
You can't tell me where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was great.
That was a moment.
That for
was
me.
Cute. Yeah.
He said I made his day too. So yes. It was great.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, people also, they appreciate when you appreciate their work.
Right.
I think it's like, appreciate the work. Don't have like this weird parasocial relationship with them.
Because
when you're approaching them.
Right.
Because now, I know that every time I've met or seen 5 Seconds of Summer, the one time I ran into 5 Seconds of Summer in a bar, I'm not going to tell the full story. Maybe I'll tell it on a different episode, but I was like a little bit tipsy and I was like, let me not lose my head.
I can't.
Let me not lose my head. I was like, this is dangerous. And I wasn't with Amber. Amber was underage. She was at home. I texted her and I was like, Amber, literally Luke, Callum, and Ashton are in this bar. What am I going to do?
I left out of bed and just started pacing.
All I said to Callum was, I love your band. And I kept it pushing.
Right.
And he's like, what's your name? And I...
Shut up, actually.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell the whole story. So I'm standing in a bar on the east side of Los Angeles with my friend Jason. Jason does not know anything about 5 Seconds of Summer. He's ordering a beer for like the entire time this is happening. I'm sitting at the bar. It's like a U bar, so you can see who's on the other side of the bar. And I said, that guy kind of looks like Luke Hemmings.
Fuck off.
But it's not, because why would it be? Right next to him, this is all happening within 0.1 seconds. All of this processing. That's not Luke. Next to him, that's Callum Hood. So that is Luke. And I'm looking at Callum and Luke staring right at them, ordering a drink. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't have any support. Who am I going to tell? Jason's ordering a beer. I'm shaking, quivering. They disappear in the crowd. And if you can see me on the YouTube, they disappear in the crowd and I'm tracking them. I can't see them, but I know where they're going. And as soon as they come out, I say, yeah. And I grab Callum. I grab Callum's arm.
Like bear fishing.
And I say, hey, I just want to let you know that I love your band. And he was like, oh, thanks.
Shut up.
What's your name? And I was like, Amanda. And he shakes my hand. It's so soft. And he says, I'm Callum. In my head, I'm thinking, damn right, you're Callum. He's like, have a great night. Leaves. And I'm like, turn to Jason. Jason. He was like, okay, got a beer. Let's go. You want to go to the dance floor? And I'm like, Jason, I just met my favorite band. And he's like, who? And I was like, 5 Seconds of Summer. And he's like, who's that?
Jason.
I'm like, Jason, shut up. Let's go dance. And so we go dance, and I'm dancing. I'm having a great time. I'm still really on edge because I'm like, 5 Seconds of Summer is in here. At least it's just Luke and Callum. Bump.
Shut the hell up.
A glass breaks. Okay. A glass breaks. It's like, did anybody just hear that glass break? I turn around. It's Ashton Irwin.
I cannot with this story. I like literally hate this story.
And I'm like, Michael better not be in here. That's all I know. And so I'm like, I got to get away from here. I'm like looking at him like we're like he's bumping up against my back. Okay. And he turns around and says that to me. Okay. This story's all out of order because it's chaotic. But I'm like, yeah, I heard that glass break. Like, what is that? We clear that dance floor. We go to the other dance floor and Luke and Callum are in the DJ spot. I guess their friend is the DJ. And I'm like dancing and I'm like, maybe they'll see me dancing. So right, I'm like right, dancing right. super hard. And then they leave and I see them leave the bar and I'm like, okay, so we're in the clear. All my anxiety is gone. But that's the thing is like, if they're in this building, I got to act normal. Like, I can't be like a crazy fan. I don't want it to cause a scene in this bar. I live here. This bar's right up the street from where I live. I can't do this in my own home. And so I'm like, okay, they're gone. Whew, great. And me and Jason stay there for like 20 more minutes and then we leave and they're all standing outside waiting for their car. And I'm like, why? I can't get out of here. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Stand and wait for an Uber next to 5 Seconds of Summer?
No.
I'm like, let's go. Let's walk up the street. Let's walk up the street. And then we pass them. And I'm like, have a great night to Callum. And he's like, and I'm like, walk. And Jason's like, you don't want to like talk to them? And I'm like, absolutely not.
That's not a possibility. I am so enraged. Okay.
Because Amber was about to come.
I had a fake ID, y'all.
Amber was gonna come with us.
She
stayed home.
The reason that this story is so crazy to me, it makes me upset, is because it is such a level space. It's such an even level of space to see your idols. You're just out on a
at
night
at a bar.
Out.
Yes,
you're
I'm
at a
drunk,
night out, just having a good time, and you're like, "Hey, you literally talk. You talk crazy to strangers on a night out anyway." So if I was drunk at a bar and I saw one of them, I'm not saying I would do this, everyone, but in a certain scenario, I probably would feel confident enough to just go up and be like, "Why you look familiar?" Or just play dumb or do anything. Is your name?
See, because in the moment, it's just like, it's just so much adrenaline that it's like, what can you even do?
Like, what can you do? Because
we've learned from, remember when we met Chester C?
Oh, yes.
And we screamed in his face.
Oh, yes.
And before we tell the story, yes. I want to say that as we are having this discussion, about like how to approach stars, it's making it, as I've grown, I've looked back at all of the celebrity encounters that we have had, and I'm like, I wonder what they were thinking about or what they were going through, what that day was like for them. Like Daniel Radcliffe, even Sebastian Stan, even the premiere days, like they're there to meet fans, yeah, like going up and down the line. But yeah, so Chester C, let's tell that story.
Well, I was just going to say first, when we met Sebastian Stan, mm-hmm, even though we waited at the stage door, he didn't expect anyone to be there.
Mm-mm. No, it was like
he came out, yeah, and he was like, oh, they're not here for me, and just takes off down the road. And so it was very nice of him, you know, to chat. Daniel, however, was,
oh my
it
God,
was a massive, yeah, crowd.
Yeah,
and massive. So he literally just said, I'm going to sign as many autographs as I can reach.
And
he literally did.
And he's he reached talking his hand to as many people as he can.
Was.
Wait, did he say that?
Yes, he says.
He did say that.
He says, I'll sign as many as I can reach.
And so, he's only 5'5".
And you have to understand, it was a massive crowd. And so he was reaching up. And he was reaching in, and he was reaching this way, and he was reaching that way.
And there was camera, there was flashes. Right. I mean, this is Harry Potter.
I mean, he's like, golden
and
boy.
And he literally like has, this is his whole life. He's been training for it.
And he was on Broadway in, what was it called?
How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Yes. Singing and dancing. And so amazing.
He
American
so when he got to you guys, one of you said, we're coming to see the show on Saturday or something.
I said, we're coming to see the show Friday. And he goes, when? And I go, Friday. He goes, Friday, okay. It's a great night to see it.
I mean, conversing with the crowd.
Yeah, he was giving it his all.
He's like talking to everybody.
He was
like a robot.
Right. So those times were appropriate and expected.
Yeah.
However, when we were in the Grove, we had not moved here yet. So you girls were still very young.
Yes.
In 2012.
Okay, and Chester C. Was a YouTube star at that time.
This is the first and last time we acted out of pocket or unaccordingly.
But you were so small.
It's the first time.
And Chester C was a YouTube star, so I feel like he looked like he kind of was excited that he was recognized.
Yeah,
he
and
was
confused and overwhelmed. Yeah,
because we saw him later in the Cheesecake Factory.
That part
and
was
he smiled
bad.
At us. We didn't do anything. We just walked past his table.
We waved
frantically.
But that's all right. I remember my muscle memory. I was going like this.
I was like this, and he did look scared. That
he was like,
time.
Okay, are they following me?
Yeah,
because when we saw him, he was coming towards us, and we locked eyes with him, and me and Amber both at the same time start going, it's Chester,
like we started hyperventilating,
and he could see in plain sight. He was like
6'2" or something, and we were like small girls.
He's like 6 feet away from us.
Oh my god, hey guys.
We didn't even ask for a picture. He just posed for one.
He said do you guys want a photo?
And then you took the picture of us. Yeah. We didn't speak.
Yeah.
He
is really handsome.
Now that's out of pocket.
It is out of pocket again?
I don't remember anything.
The Cheesecake Factory, okay. I think in hindsight,
we were acting like
it was crazy.
London and Maddie on Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. It was just crazy.
But like, I think it was fine because he was excited to see our excited faces. But the second time in the Cheesecake Factory when we waved, that was when it was out of pan. And I think that is why we have such a bad taste.
I just
in our
feel like he
thing.
Thinks that we were stalking him.
Because
like,
we weren't. We just happened to go into that.
But
Cheesecake
you've never
Factory.
Had any other celebrity encounters that was wild?
One time when we were in line for Hall H, like during the day. We were camped out.
Oh.
Jaden Smith pulled up on a golf cart. Someone was driving him, and me and Amber
waved,
and then
and he waved back,
and so then we started running.
First
a little
of all,
bit.
Yeah, we ran.
We ran a little bit, and the guy goes nope, and we were like.
Yeah. Well, no, what I did actually, Jaden and I had an agreement.
We pulled back.
Jaden and I had an agreement. I did this. We waved. I did this. And he waved us through because he's my age, y'all. He was just a baby at Comic-Con too. And then when we started running, then his handler saw us and said, oh, and it was literally, we were
it's
like.
Because he's a baby and they didn't want anybody up there.
It would have started everyone. Yeah. And then if he had done it for you two, then everybody would have cried.
And we're harmless. We could have been like his like cousins, but like, everybody else would have caused a scene.
Yeah, I don't want to be out of pocket.
Yeah, no, I don't want to overwhelm anyone.
My thing at Comic-Con was that you two kept seeing Colton Haynes and I kept missing him. Remember the time you saw him on a golf cart?
Yep.
And you really didn't want to tell me you'd seen him because I had locked the keys in the car and I was off dealing with that. Remember? And then so you were like, mommy, while you were dealing with the key person, we saw Colton Haynes. I'm like, oh. And then the following year, I think he was on a panel.
Mm-hmm. He came out.
And I missed him again.
And then another year, he was in the exhibit hall.
No, I saw him in the exhibit hall from a distance.
Okay.
Because he had the pretty blonde hair because he was doing some show.
Yeah.
And you girls screamed at him and said, hey, you know, we love your hair.
That was me and Capri.
And he said, thank you. Yeah, I was there that time. So I did get to see him in person up close, you know, but I didn't get to, no interaction, but it's fine.
Okay, mommy. Now it's time to ask you the question, how is being a fangirl central to your identity?
I think it's central to my identity because it has helped me through different times in my life. It has made me, I think, connect more with you girls and be able to appreciate the things that you fangirl about, the things that you're really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has helped me in general just be a person who's more empathetic, because I can, I do my best to put myself in someone else's shoes. And if I'm looking at, things that are important to them, whether it's fangirling or anything, I think that helps me. I think I feel like, well, if I can be excited about this thing, and somebody else is excited about another thing, well, then I can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And and just in general, you know, anything that, that somebody may be going through a hard time, or whether they're going through a great time and celebrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I have, you know, a lot of empathy with that, just because of, you know, how my life has been. Mm-hmm. with fangirling and being passionate about different things and different people and different genres.
Yeah.
Or novels, movies, whatever it may be. And I think people pick that up from me. Mm-hmm. I've had even one of my coworkers to tell me that I appear to be kind of an optimistic person who's kind of energetic about whatever it is I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize that too much myself, to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I do, you know. Mm-hmm. Like if I put a lot of energy behind things that I'm excited about, or things that I'm happy or looking forward to, and I don't even realize that I'm putting that kind of energy. And I guess that energy goes out to other people.
Yeah.
And it's a little contagious, and then they're like, yeah, we should do that, or yeah, that sounds great. You know, anything new that I might be watching or whatever it may be, like, have you watched this, you know, and they're like, oh, I gotta watch it, or they do it to me, you know, I'm watching this thing, it sounds so good, oh, then I've gotta watch, you know. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So I think it's just, it makes me my relationships better and more, be more relatable and approachable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And things like that. And even with my students, you know, sometimes I can tell them some things about myself and it helps them.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll find out that we are fans of the same thing, and mm-hmm. it helps us to connect. And
yes.
And
which is so important for students, yes, and teachers to connect.
It leads to connections. And I think that's why it helps me to be, you know, able to connect with people a lot.
Which is honestly kind of the theme of this entire episode, has been how it has helped you connect with people your entire life. Mm-hmm. We started this episode talking about your childhood. Mm-hmm. And how it helped you when you integrated.
Yep. Cause you know, like, people find out that you're a fan of something and they didn't realize you were, they're right. Like, you too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause you know, one of my friends, you know, we've discovered we're both Britney fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
Then we discover we both enjoy, you know, true crime documentaries. And
yep.
So it's like, oh yeah, you know, and that kind of, that opens a door. Like, especially when you start working somewhere, a new place,
yes,
you meet someone, and then, and you're just being, you know, your professional selves and, you know, getting to know each other a little bit better here and mm-hmm. there. And then it comes out like, oh, I like this. Oh, you right. do too. Me too.
Like, mm-hmm. you know that episode, are you caught up on Abbott Elementary?
Oh yes.
Okay. So you know that episode where, Gregory is trying to like get in good with the lunch lady, like get on her
yes.
good side. And then finally at the end of the episode, it's the basketball team that they both connect over.
Yes.
And I was like, see,
yes,
it does.
Cause
basketball is a fandom.
Together.
It brings people together.
Yeah. Yeah.
They immediately started shooting the shit, which is chatting.
I think it helps with the whole humanity thing, you know? People who are, you know, on opposing sides of, you know, human rights sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you would just, like, talk to another person,
mm-hmm.
you'll find out what you have in common, and that humanizes everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, speaking of you connecting with people, especially as a teacher, I think we can play, I would like to know, like, what characters from your different modern fandoms you would want to put in your class. So, like, from Teen Wolf,
oh,
Degrassi, Vampire Diaries.
That's a great game. Mm. That's a great game. Mm. Percy Jackson.
Who you would want
Twilight.
To put in your class.
Do you have any Cullens in your class, or would you be like, please get it together?
Oh, see, I love vampires.
Tell
that's
us.
My favorite. That's my favorite horror genre. So I would have all the vampires.
Give you us know,
give me all
of
the
them?
Cullens. Yeah, give me all the Cullens.
What about on Vampire Diaries?
Okay, Vampire Diaries, definitely the brothers. You know,
okay.
Definitely Stefan and Damon.
What do you think these people would be like in class?
Oh, I think that they would be so entertaining. I really do. I think that they would bring life to the class, and they would make us laugh a lot.
The dead, you know? Vampires.
Yes, I love vampires.
But what about the Cullens?
Okay, like, which specific Cullen?
Emmett would bring humor, but I do not think that Edward or Rosalie would.
I think Edward
would
participate, and he would be really smart.
Yeah. I do too.
I mean, they're probably all fluent in Spanish.
Edward participated in science class.
Emmett would be a hot mess.
Yeah. Emmett might be one of those who couldn't sit down. He'd have to be up and down and in and out a lot.
Mm-hmm. I bet Alice would bring you gifts.
Yes.
Lovely, I think that Emmett would get Alice. Along with Styles from Teen Wolf.
Okay. Yes.
I feel like they would be the class clowns.
Yes.
If they were in your class.
I could see that.
Oh.
I could see that. I could, all of them.
That's hilarious.
Give me Scott and Styles and
Scott
and,
would struggle so bad.
What about Lydia and Allison?
Lydia and Allison, yeah, because we need them to kind of, balance everybody.
To literally anchor Scott, that's yes. her whole point.
And I'm trying to think.
Who's what Allison?
From Degrassi.
Think about, Emma, Manny, Marco, Jimmy, Spinner, Paige, Ellie.
There's so many.
I know, there's too many.
Sean,
who
Peter,
was your favorite character?
Mia.
On Degrassi.
JT, yeah. Toby, I think Craig.
Amber. Jake,
I think Jake Epstein's character, Craig. I appreciate it, Craig, a lot.
Craig.
But there are others that I just can't, there's so many.
Mommy, think about the consistency of these characters. You would want Craig in your class?
Craig did well in school.
No,
he was fine.
Didn't.
Yes, he did. What did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong.
I just have some.
He went to school. He went to class. He wasn't disruptive.
He was disruptive.
To class?
He said to Mr. Simpson, he said, picture this, my butt leaving. And then he left the room.
I don't remember this.
He was having an episode, though.
I haven't seen Degrassi in a long time. I haven't watched the episodes in a long time.
I'm trying to think of who, I'm trying to think of, who from Degrassi you would have fun interactions with as a student.
Who?
I feel like Craig would honestly
You can't not have too argue. Many chaotic people in your class.
I think you and Spinner would get along great. I think Spinner was really annoying to teachers, but I think you would hit a soft spot with him, and mm-hmm. he would love you, and he'd probably come to your class during his breaks.
Well, I do.
Oh yeah,
enjoy students who are not like your typical. I'm gonna talk all the time, a lot, raise their hand all the time, smile a lot. The ones who are a little more introverted, but when I do get to see them smile, mm-hmm. or I do get to see them come out of their shell, I do like that kind of thing.
Ellie would be sweet in her class.
Oh, she's in a new show. Oh. She's in what is she in? She's in Lois and Clark with Tyler Hoechlin.
Is she Lois?
No. She with Tyler Hoechlin. Do you understand, mm-hmm. Derek?
Yeah.
Is Superman.
Yeah.
It's great. Kids from Boy Meets World?
Boy Meets World. I don't know. What is Ben Savage's character's name?
Corey.
I think Corey would annoy me a bit.
I think Corey would annoy you. It'd be like, go.
I don't think that the big brother.
Eric would be nice.
I would like to see Eric. Yeah, Eric would be
Eric
nice. Would make me laugh.
Yeah.
Eric would make me laugh. The others, I don't even a Ryder Strong's character.
Sean,
I don't know about Sean.
Sean was rude to adults a little bit too much.
So I would go Eric and probably
Topanga.
No, what's Eric's roommates? Matthew. Matthews. Well, I can't remember his character.
Joey. No.
Joey.
No, he wasn't Joey. His
brother's name is Joey.
What are y'all talking about?
I can't think of his name on the show.
Wait,
I think
Sean.
I would like him.
What is Sean's last name?
Hunter.
So
something Hunter.
Yeah. I can't think of it
Neither
right
can
now.
I.
Oh, it's Sean's brother.
Yeah.
What is
Sean's brother? Yeah.
Why can't I think of it?
And what's his last name in real life? Matthew
Lawrence?
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of it.
Now,
Jack!
Oh, Jack. That's it.
Oh, my God. Okay, so your classroom is the all Hunter. Of the Cullens, the brothers from the Vampire Diaries.
So I'm going to walk into the classroom, and I got six Cullens.
All the Cullens.
I have the two, Damon and Stefan.
You have Styles, Scott, Allison, and Lydia.
And Spinner. And Craig.
Oh my gosh, Spinner and Craig are the only ones who are not part of the supernatural world.
They don't know that.
Yeah, they don't know that.
Oh, Styles, it's, well, he was the void.
He knows how to do it, though. He knows about it. Wait, that was a really good game. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of one more show.
Mm-hmm. Percy Jackson. I would take Percy Jackson.
Oh, Percy Jackson, and let's do some kid shows. That's a Raven and Sweet Zack and Cody. What do you think?
Okay. I think it would be a lot of fun to have Raven, Chelsea, and
Eddie.
Me too.
In class.
Yeah.
Me too.
Their Spanish teacher was really important on that show.
Oh, yeah.
She was in a lot of it.
Yeah. And then her mom was a substitute teacher.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And she's my sorority sister. And what was the other? Oh, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. I could do the twins. That's when they'd be fine.
I think that they would respect you.
They would be fine.
The thing with the twins is they respect the adults that talk to them.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that you have a lot of class clowns. You've put a lot of class clowns in your class.
Yeah.
And I think all the class clowns at our school loved you because you were a good teacher, but also you wouldn't mess around. Like, I feel like some teachers would be like, not take them seriously and therefore not help them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, but you would help them. You'd be like, now settle down. Now, okay, that's funny, but settle down.
Yeah. You let them get it out. And then it was like, okay,
we laugh.
Now it's time to start class.
But then we gotta do this chunk of work right here.
Very good with balance. Yeah.
Oh, I also want to mention though, that last night we watched So Weird. That Charmy mentioned on last week's episode from Disney Channel. And the main character is the girl from Mary-Kate and Ashley, You're Invited.
The sleepover party.
The pizza sleepover party that's like,
I'm putting the pizza!
Pizza!
Really? She's the main character?
Yeah.
Is this an old show? So Weird?
Yes, from it's from like the 90s, but she's older than she is in the... If anyone has seen this, Mary-Kate and Ashley, You're Invited, sleepover party, she's like...
It's Kara.
Whipped cream pie like waterfalls. It's like, why is her, how is her voice that that high?
She's like a small child.
But we did watch that.
But yeah, that was a shock. We were like, that's definitely that girl from the pizza episode.
I wanted to mention it.
Yeah. Well, mama.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for raising us into a fangirl household.
And thank you for carting us around. And speaking of carting us around from concert to concert, we do want to give a shout out to this company called
Tomorrow and Tonight.
Yep.
They own a tour bus and they let fangirls who are like following an artist on tour stay on a tour bus just like the artist. So they have a tour bus that's following the artist on tour, and they're going on tour with Louis Tomlinson this summer. Yep. They're going on tour with Five Sauce, and so check them out if you're in their area, if these concerts are in your area, and if you want to be a groupie and if you want to stay on a tour bus just like it. I've always wanted to. Yep. It sounds like a very cool experience. Oh, wow. And it's run by some very lovely people.
Yes, yes. Fantastic.
But mommy, did you want to say any last thoughts before you go?
I would just like to say thank you to both of you for having me on the show, and that you are amazing daughters. And I'm so very happy for you and your lovely podcast and all of the, and spreading all the joy for fangirling.
Yes. We love you, mommy.
We love you, mommy.
Love you too, babies.
Well, you can find us at fangirl.central on Instagram.
And make sure to come to our Disney Vortex musical review starting May 25th, final show June 16th. All of the dates are in our bio on Instagram.
Yes.
Check us out. And we also have a Patreon.
Yes. Support us if you love us.
Leave a 5-star review. And as always,
keep it chaotic.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.